If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
This is the Manny Fry Show. I've been looking forward to this all day. In fact, probably for a couple weeks, because we knew we were going to put Ethan in the hot spot and make him host if you told us that he had to. So today's YouTube live chat poll is, should Ethan host the 2 p.m. hour? I'm going to click on no here. Actually, yeah, let me click on yes.
Oh, jerk.
Yes. 83% say yes. He should host the hour. Therefore, take it away, Ethan.
I hate you all. Just wanted to let you know that.
And by the way, if you haven't voted yet, go on there after he started hosting and vote no.
It just magically starts scrolling.
Take his confidence down throughout the hour.
Ethan's going to come in. Hello, friends and audience.
And Ryan.
This is where you shine. What do you got for us?
So it wouldn't be Ethan putting his stamp on the Manny Fry Show if there wasn't sports involved, right? But I combined sports and politics.
Amazing.
Spolitics.
You're like this generation's Will Kane.
Is that what he does?
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump, in his words, saved college sports.
Did you
happen to hear about his new executive order?
Yeah, but I don't know anything about it. Which is why I'm glad that you brought this up.
So, President Trump yesterday signed an executive order to protect student athletes and collegiate athletic scholarships and opportunities. This is going to end up being a pretty big deal, guys. I think, obviously, we've talked a little bit on this show here the past, I don't know, more than several months. It's come up at times how NIL has been bad for college sports. While there are some pros out of it, right? The system is getting taken advantage of.
For those of us who don't know what NIL is, what is that?
So NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And the whole idea, right, is that college athletes, just up until a couple of years ago, were not able to profit off of their name. That was the rules and regulation that the NCAA had set up for them.
That's the way we liked it. We in the corporate C-suite said, yeah, we own you.
The problem, Ryan, is that the NCAA has been making millions off of these athletes' names for a very long time.
And that's the way we liked it.
Are you a part of the NCAA?
No, he was just old and a purist.
Got it. Okay. A couple of years ago, this all gets changed. But now the problem has become that there has been really no regulation on this. And it's getting out of hand very quickly to all of a sudden where recruiting at one time was an art. It was based off the quality of your facilities. It was based off of the education that you provided. Who would have thought?
That's not true.
A little bit. But more so, right, what you could provide, the opportunity, depending on the sport, if it was going to set you up for success down the road, potentially, in the professionals. And
let me ask you this before you move past that, because I remember this happening. Was it a court case that caused that to happen, or was it actual legislation? Do you remember?
I think this went to the Supreme Court.
I thought this was a court case. I think it was a court case that changed everything.
I believe that it went to the Supreme Court. So now, like I said, it's gotten completely out of hand. All it's really about now is money. Mm-hmm. That's all it's about.
Yeah.
Who can pay me the most?
I hate it.
So President Trump's executive order.
I hate money.
Do you know?
That's why.
Just a moment ago, you loved it when you loved the suppression of all these college athletes.
I wasn't benefiting from that.
You just enjoyed them being suppressed.
I like when the corporate suite makes money, just like here.
Very interesting.
That's why I have such a low salary.
Oh, it sure is a Friday.
Gosh, Ryan.
So the order will require the preservation and, where possible, expansion of opportunities for scholarships and collegiate athletic competition in women's and non-revenue sports. It will prohibit third-party pay-for-play payments to college athletes. This does not apply, though, to legitimate fair market value compensation that a third party provides to an athlete, such as brand endorsement. That's something that you'll see a lot at lower levels, right? That's the only one you'll see at lower levels. For example, Lindenwood University, just up I-70 in St. Charles. I know a bunch of people from broadcasting there, being a student there. I know a bunch of people that are on these smaller brand endorsement deals, and that's how they make their NIL.
Kidding.
Yeah, totally. Chicken and Pickle does a bunch of them. Chicken and Pickle does some. Smoothie King does some. Several different.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I thought you had to be pretty big to get an endorsement.
Oh, no. NIL has become. Because even these kids, right, they have reach on their social medias. They, mm-hmm. They're able to provide reach that is benefiting these companies, even if it's, you know, not, you know, getting to millions of people, right? So, and a lot of these kids don't even, you know, make money off of them, but they're getting like, okay, we'll give you free membership to this place, or we'll give you, the, you know, so it's a benefit still. But this is going to change more so the upper levels of this. As far as the third party pay for play, colleges cannot straight up pay these athletes to be going to their school.
So under the current system, well, up until now, the college itself could just say, yeah, we're going to pay you $1 million to come here.
Basically, but it usually wouldn't be straight from the college, but it's money that is given to the college.
They'd work it through an NGO.
I mean, basically. Pay for play refers to a system where access or participation in an activity or service or opportunity is contingent upon paying a fee. So, I mean, it's coming through the league, but not directly from the school. So it just has gotten super, super messy. And this will allow for the opportunity, I think, for things to potentially get cleaned up. Nick Saban was actually on Fox and Friends this morning, and he shared his thoughts on this. I'm going to get this pulled up here in a second. There it is. Audio on?
No, but there's something playing in the background, too, so I want to make sure that you don't have that running as well.
Man, hosting the show.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not even upset. You did this to yourself.
I'm upset.
All right, you got the video up?
Yep.
All right, we're good.
It's one of the reasons I believe you left is because where college sports was going. What does this executive order do?
Well, I think, you know, President Trump's executive order takes a huge step in, you know, providing the educational model that has always been what we've sort of tried to promote to create opportunities for players, male and female alike, revenue and non-revenue. So that they can have development as people, students, and develop careers and develop professionally if that's what they choose to do. So I think we sort of need to make a decision here relative to, do we want to have an education-based model, which I think the president made a huge step toward doing that, or do we want to have universities sponsor professional teams? And I think most people would choose the former.
Coach, one of the reasons I believe you left.
Thank you. So you hear Nick Saban, who, one of the best college football coaches, the best college football coach of all time. Just a couple of years ago, he retired, and a huge reason as to why he did was because NIL started to become incorporated into college sports, and all of a sudden, it wasn't about anything besides money anymore. Like I said, this is going to clean this up a little bit. It's also going to benefit, you know, Title IX. There's just a bunch of mess as far as the large amount of revenues in college sports is coming from football and basketball, and it's kind of leaving this, what about every single other college sport? This potentially leaves the danger of, if all the money is getting put back into those sports, what's it going to do for these other sports, for these other college athletes? This is going to force some of that revenue to be going to those other sports as well, to women's sports as well. So it feels like this is a step in the right direction. I'm not seeing that anything is going to immediately this second change from this, but it's the first step in the conversation needs to happen to try and get some regulations on the NIL stuff.
So the idea here is that basically the 30,000 foot overview of Trump's executive order is what he's basically eliminating the possibility of pay for play, and he's making it more that you have to get an agent and do endorsements to make money.
Third party entities or boosters are providing these payments to the college students, and this will stop that from happening. You will be able to have endorsements, right? You could say, like,
right,
hey, you'll be able to have this opportunity to partner up with this car company, and you'll have a car when you're here, right? But the university themselves are not providing that car. They have a partnership, perhaps, with a company. As far as I know, that is allowed. That's still going to be allowed. So they're still going to be able to use this to their advantage, right? The NIL, and entice students to come. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, so many of these smaller schools, right, or even schools that you'd argue are Power Five, bigger levels, can't compete with the top schools, and all of a sudden it's going to become super top-heavy and unnecessary. So this is a good first step in the right direction for college sports, I think. Well, is this where I send us to break?
That's where the time is.
Hey, if you think it's time, you're running this ship.
I don't like you.
Do this.
I'm going to wrap.
Okay.
I'm going to wrap this. We're going to take a quick pause right here on the Manny Fry Show.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
When we return, sports and local with yours truly on 97.1 St. Louis Conservative.
Check it out. Sports and local.
Spitting facts and shizzle, man.
Did that even say your name?
Shizzle? Or chisel?
Shizzle.
Shizzle,
These are all listener suggestions still.
Sports and local, spitting facts and shizzle, man, with yours truly, right here on the Manny Fry
Show. Not even a word.
Doesn't even say Ethan's name either.
Doesn't. Nope. It does not at all. If you're wondering why the heck is Ethan hosting, well, the YouTube live chat poll today asked if Ethan should host the 2 o'clock hour. Unfortunately, you all hate me, so you clicked a yes by an overwhelming majority. It was like 85% or something
like that.
And
it's holding steady.
It is. It's dropped a little bit.
I advocate for people to hit no throughout this hour.
You did. And the people have ignored you.
Yeah, they have.
As they tend to do. All right, let's go ahead and let's jump into the local. Burritos may seem like a simple mix of meat and rice and beans wrapped in a tortilla. But
Man,
in the right
I'm
hands,
starving. Here we go.
But in the right hands, boy, do they deliver some unforgettable experiences, don't they?
Basically, the highlights of my life involve burritos.
A research team for lovefood.com recently combined a list naming the best burrito in every U.S. state. Their selections were based on reviews, awards, and accolades, in addition to the firsthand experience of their food writing team. And according to lovefood.com, the best burrito in Missouri is the fajita burrito sold at Mariachi's 2 Mexican restaurant in St. Louis. Has anyone been to Mariachi's 2?
I've been to a Mariachi's.
Yeah, same. I've been to a Mariachi's.
But is it the same place, or are they just called the same thing?
I don't know.
But mine's in Illinois.
Yeah, same.
And I think it's called Mariachi's 2, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know,
but it's in Illinois? It's like a Mandela effect.
I think it might be a chain, or it's just the same name.
Like it's, well, or it could be a small chain.
Yes.
Mariachi's is fajita burrito is kicked up a notch is what it says. It's a classic burrito kicked up a notch inside a crispy grilled flour tortilla. It's packed with rice, beans, pico de gallo, mixed cheeses, and sour cream. So congratulations to Mariachi's 2 on winning best burrito in Missouri. And of course, it comes from St. Louis.
Ethan, do you remember your first?
My first burrito?
Yeah.
First burrito. Actually, I think I do.
Amazing, because I don't.
I think I do, too.
No way. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
This was a joke, and
where
now
was
you guys
yours?
Actually remember it?
Mine, this is going to sound really lame, but
where
mine
was your
was
first?
Mine was a Taco Bell bean burrito.
Oh, how old were you?
Checks out.
And where were you?
Probably like 10. Taco Bell by the fairgrounds in Belleville.
It really was a memorable experience. Ethan, but you said you remember yours, too. So
yeah, but it was an actual burrito. It wasn't Taco Bell.
Where was it?
Hey, those are real burritos?
No, yeah, they're not. Sorta. Get out of here.
Give us a break.
Was it? Wait, so it wasn't while you were working at Taco Bell?
No, it was
this
way before.
This was way before.
What
this,
caused him to want to work there?
I was about to ask. Did this help inspire you to work at Taco Bell?
No. That is not what inspired me to work at Taco Bell. I just remember we were out with my mom, and she's like, I want Taco Bell. And we were always like, we want McDonald's. And she's like, we're getting Taco Bell.
My first one burrito was at this restaurant in Alton, Illinois, called Riviera Maya Original.
This is incredible.
And
the year?
Huh?
The year?
It would have been, I probably would have been around 10 also, 10 or 11, so probably 2011-ish. And I mean, it was your... I remember, because at that point, right, you're super picky. You go to a Mexican restaurant. Like, at what point are you just getting, like, the chicken tender still, right? Everyone goes through that. And I remember one day being like, I want meat and I want cheese. And I looked on the menu and I found the thing that had both of those. And it was called cheese steak burrito. I was like, that'll play.
Boy, that's steak and cheese? Yeah, here we go.
And I think that combination pretty much tends to be what I still get at Mexican restaurants.
I will say this. Just because somebody in our listening area, actually quite a few people probably, if you've ever been in Southern Illinois, I went to college in Carbondale, SIUC.
I know where you're talking about.
You already know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Yeah.
Burritos as big as your head?
Burritos as big as your head.
What's the name of that place?
I cannot for the life of me.
We always just called it Burritos as big as your head.
Yeah, I remember we were coming home from a father-son camping trip at Camp Ondesank, and they're like, no, we need to stop in Carbondale and get these burritos from this place. They're as big as your head.
And they have a...
Are they actually, though?
I mean, they're pretty big.
They're massive.
They have a guy standing there with a burrito as a head. And then I would always joke, like when I was eating one, that the person was, that the burrito was screaming.
La Bombas.
La Bombas. That's not the first burrito I ever had, but it is the first time I ever had horchata was at that restaurant.
Yes, me too.
And it was so good. You don't know what horchata is?
Mm-mm. Oh, man.
You're old enough to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You've had rum chata?
Yep.
So rum chata is based on horchata.
Okay.
It's basically that without rum.
Yeah, it's just the drink without rum, and it is so good.
Is it alcoholic?
No.
No, it's a rice milk drink with cinnamon.
Why would you drink it, though?
Oh, because it's delicious.
Gosh, it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah you got to go to an authentic-ish Mexican restaurant.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Moving on in sports and local. Let's see. What was it called again today? Spittin' Facts and Shizzle Man. A date has been set for Missouri's back-to-school sales tax holiday weekend. It will be from 12:01 a.m. on Friday, August 1st, through midnight on Sunday, August 3rd. So any moms and dads out there trying to save a few bucks on the Missouri side, this is your opportunity.
That's next weekend, not this one, right?
Mm-hmm. Certain purchases during the shopping holiday such as school supplies, computers, clothing, and other qualifying items will be exempt from all state and local taxes. And according to the Missouri Department of Revenue, some of the following are included, which would be clothing that does not have a taxable value of more than $100.
Clothing that does not reveal your belly button.
That's not on the list. So don't listen to Ryan. Not the first time.
Listen to Ryan. Don't get your daughter that.
School supplies not exceeding $50 per purchase that are used in a standard classroom for educational purposes, as well as personal computers that do not cost more than $1,500, and computer peripheral devices that do not cost more than $1,500. I'm looking at that one specifically,
computer peripheral devices. We're talking like tablets and stuff, right?
Yeah, that could save you, triple digit numbers right there. Could it not? Potentially, if you're spending near $1,500?
Yeah, it's probably, $150.
Yeah.
Maybe that's pretty big savings. As a conservative, mm-hmm. I think the sales tax holiday should go from January through December. And then start up again
January. I'm really getting my hosting abilities out here. Ryan, tell us why.
Thank you for asking. It's because I hate taxes.
Right. Taxation is theft.
Thank you for filling time on the clock. Appreciate that, my good acquaintance.
So specific.
This is great.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. The nose have ticked up a little bit, though.
It's okay. That's fine.
Just a tiny bit, though.
That does not hurt. I promise you, it does not hurt my feelings at all.
Ethan's hoping to turn this poll over by the end of this segment.
The American College of Sports Medicine just released its 2025 Fitness Index, ranking the 100 largest U.S. cities based on how healthy and active their residents are. All 100 cities were measured on factors like access to parks, recreation facilities, bike lanes and public spaces, as well as personal health data, including smoking rates, mental health, physical activity, and diet.
I thought you were just going to stop at America's largest cities.
No, not that. Here's the good news. 94 cities reported higher levels of aerobic activity, and 89 showed an uptick in residents meeting aerobic and strength training guidelines. So that's an encouragement. Smoking declined in 75% of the cities as well.
Is smoking even cool anymore?
No. No, it's not cool.
Among
now it's vaping.
Gen Z,
it's
Alpha,
vaping now.
I
don't even know that vaping's cool.
It was
cool
when I was in high school.
Right, but now it kind of almost seems...
I don't see it very much anymore. It was never cool for me.
Is drinking cool?
In high school, probably still, yeah.
Just because it's rebellious.
Do they party still? Like, do they still have parties?
Oh, yeah. Totally. 100%.
Okay.
All right. Continue.
Where would you guys guess, out of the top 100 on this list, St. Louis would fall?
Of most healthy?
Yes.
Well, you're reporting on it, so...
We got to be either near the top or near the bottom.
Yeah. So I'm going to go number 7.
That's near the top. I'm going to say we're the least healthy, near number 94.
Okay. So Brad said number 7. He got one of the numbers right.
70.
Is it 97?
No, we were 72nd.
77.
So towards the bottom.
So I win.
We're towards the bottom.
I got both of those numbers correct. I just said it once.
Thank you, Brad. Well done. Congratulations. Number 1 on the list, Arlington, Virginia. Number 2, Washington, D.C., which, like, that's basically...
Yeah, there's
the
a lot of green space and bike.
It's also basically the same place.
It's the same city.
So I thought that was funny that they're considered separate. Seattle was 3rd. Chicago was 11th on the list.
Really?
What else? Yeah. Kansas City's even lower than St. Louis. They were 82nd.
Let's call that barbecue.
I guess so. And the most unhealthy city in the country, Oklahoma City.
Let's go to Oklahoma City, baby.
What is in Oklahoma? Do they must probably have good barbecue.
They got a basketball team.
Yeah, they do. That finally won something.
Has anybody here ever been to Oklahoma for any reason?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been to Oklahoma City for a conference for our denomination, and then I've also been there to Tulsa, Oklahoma for races that they hold every January called the Chili Bowl Nationals, which is an indoor dirt race at the Tulsa Expo Center.
Better be some real good chili there.
I feel like that's a conservative state that people are sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually gaining a lot of industry, but it's not getting talked about like Tennessee and Florida do and Texas. And there's a massive theme park that's going to open.
Yes, I've heard about this.
I don't know if it's in Oklahoma City. I was thinking it was a little closer to us, actually, like northeastern side of the state. But it's the whole theme of the theme park is Americana. Mm-hmm. And it's designed by Disney Imagineers. So it's a major theme park that's coming.
Ron comments and says Oklahoma City is a great city for tornado watching. And I'd have to imagine it is with how far out you can see from some of those tall buildings.
Wind comes sweeping across the plains.
Final story here before we wrap sports and local. St. Louis Board announces that they are going to demolish 40 tornado hit homes using sewer funds. A public St. Louis board is mobilizing existing funds to demolish said buildings by, of course, the May 16th tornado. Passing a resolution this past Tuesday, the Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority passed the measure, which uses those funds to demolish any tornado-impacted structures. An employee at the St. Louis Development Corps said at Tuesday's board meeting that it would apply only to residential structures. The resolution said it had identified 40 structures for demolition that were just in such rough shape. And it will, the LCRA is not going to take them over. Instead, it's seeking ways to obtain the consent of property owners. So St. Louis still in this tough spot trying to recover.
Yeah,
and trying.
It's a lurch.
What'd you say?
It's a lurch. It's tough.
There's, I mean, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I was flying back in from out of town, and you can see just all of the blue and white tarps on top of,
that's wild.
On top of houses that still do like have open holes in their roofs.
You live in Missouri.
I live in St. Charles.
On your way home, do you see any of this at all?
I do not from the interstate. I mean, I get on 70 right away and I take it, so I don't see any of it. But I mean, if any time you drive through Forest Park or anywhere around there, you can see, I mean, tons of damage to some of those old historic homes in that area.
Yeah, it's been a couple months since I've driven through, month and a half maybe, since I've driven by any of it, because obviously me and Brad and Annie, we live in Illinois. We don't see it. But the last time I drove through Forest Park area off of Skinker, I was shocked by how bad it still was. I mean, major, major damage. And it's so crazy, just like any tornado, where one building will be fine, and then three buildings are destroyed right next to it. And it's pretty widespread. I just haven't seen it in the last couple months, so I don't know if it's gotten any better.
It's a slow.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
But sure, process. And Kara Spencer's doing everything that she can, it looks like, to try and, you know, this has been her entire time in office so far.
Huge Kara Spencer fan, are you?
I don't know if I would say that, but, you know, I'll say this.
You're pulling for her.
She's had a tough task. Yeah, we all should pull for her.
Shouldn't we be?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We all are.
It is a Friday on the Manny Fry Show, about a half hour to go. Going to continue wrapping things up when we return on 97.1 St. Louis Conservative. Welcome back to the Manny Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Ethan Hannaford, Brad Range, Ryan Wiggins. I put you last for a reason.
This is my favorite thing about this, is you just never cease to hurl bombs at Ryan.
Don't act like it's not the other way around.
No, it's. I love it.
He just gave me a D in my hosting, which honestly, that was kind of nice.
6 to 10. That 60%. That's an F, bud.
It's above average.
A 60?
Yeah.
A 60's a D minus.
You sound like a pro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take that. Brad, you said you had an interesting story that you wanted to bring to the table, an article.
I'm subscribed to a newsletter, and it's from Zuby. I don't know if you guys know who Zuby is.
Nope.
Have you heard of Zuby?
Well, actually, I have. He's a rapper?
Yeah, he was a rapper, but kind of like rose to fame by posting him doing a deadlift warm-up of his.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is what really kind of launched him into the public eye. He did this deadlift, and this is right back whenever the whole transgender movement thing was happening. And he did the deadlift, and he sat down, and he's like, also, I identified as a woman before I did that. Don't at me, you bigots. And the deadlift he did was basically broke the woman UK women's world record in his warm-up.
I didn't know any of this.
It was great. So anyway, that got me going, who's this guy? And I started following his music and stuff like that, and I liked that. And I got in on a Kickstarter for one of his albums, and I got subscribed to his newsletter. And one of these newsletters that he sent out is tips from a successful millennial who refuses to lie to you, and this is to Gen Z men. He said...
would be me.
That would be you. But
I am a Gen Z man.
But I was looking through this, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on whether or not you think these are good tips.
Advice
not,
from millennials.
From millennials to Gen Z. If this is not just good advice in general, or if this is bad advice, or whatever. So the very first one that he has is master something useful. He says, as a man, the world will value you based on what you create and provide. You'll be compensated according to your competence and usefulness. If you want to earn the respect of other men and adoration of women, then you must be useful. You can get angry or offended by this, but this is the way of the world. Thoughts?
It's hard to disagree with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your value is based on what you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else your value would be in
regarding... Do you lead with this in conversations? I mean, just as a guy. When you meet somebody, do you find out what they do pretty quick?
If I meet new person, it's, yeah, small talk, part of small talk, I'll ask what they do. I don't know, though, that I look at a person and go, you're not valuable or you are based on what you do, but I am genuinely interested in what somebody does, because if they do have something, then maybe they can become more valuable than what they are, because now they're not an acquaintance, they're a link or an outreach or a contact that I can use to achieve something on my own end, and maybe we can help one another in life.
Well, that's the difference between a Christian worldview and a non-Christian worldview, is that everybody has inherent value as somebody who is a created by God individual.
It's interesting, though, because he said this is the way of the world, because whenever we get a little bit further on, you'll find something else that he recommends. So the second one is get in excellent physical shape. He said, barring an ailment or an injury, you are currently experiencing the easiest time of your life to get into excellent physical shape. You have the time, energy, recovery capacity, and hopefully the motivation to get it done. He says, strength train 3 to 5 times per week and take it seriously. This is something that I would say to me, I look at this and go, absolutely 100%. Because I didn't do this whenever I was, you know, in that age group. I didn't take care of myself. We joke about it, but I ballooned to 330 pounds, and I ended up having heart attacks because of it. Subsequent 3 heart attacks because of poor decisions that I made in my life, younger point. But because I was still in my 20s, I was able to drop that weight fairly quickly. I've noticed now that I'm in my 40s that trying to drop a pound or 2 or 5 pounds or whatever is a lot more difficult. It's a lot more difficult to add muscle. All of that stuff changes, and it's easier to get in shape and to continue in shape whenever you're in your 40s than it is to get in your shape later on in your life. So don't push that to the side.
Ryan, you listening to this?
Well, I really want to commend us, because he's right. It is tough to joke about his overweight heart attack period, but we still managed to do it.
It's tough for me to joke about it, guys. It's really easy for other people to pick on me for being
fat.
Brad
literally on the verge of death multiple times, and we're just laughing about it.
Well, we're very careful, though.
We are.
But we do still do it. I will say this.
It's a gift.
Not necessarily about weight training, but I remember when I was in college, and this is speaking to a younger generation, so kind of similar. I had a pastor who said, listen, whatever you're going to do, do it now, because you have more time now than you will ever have. And I remember thinking, ridiculous. I have less time now than I used to. But it was still true,
yes,
because you have less and less time the more time goes on.
Yeah, this is 100% true. Number 3, live by God's law. He says, the older that I get, the more I realize that the Bible is right about everything. I don't know your personal religious beliefs, but I can tell you that if you strive to live according to God's commandments, then you will avoid a lot of unnecessary pain. You will also experience a sense of meaning, purpose, and joy that many of your peers may lack. And this, I cannot stress enough, the truth and the good things in the Bible, the truth of the Bible is still true whether you believe it or not. There are good. Like, if you are out there and you're listening and you're an atheist or you don't believe in God or whatever, you can't just throw away the whole Bible. I'm certain you can go through the Bible and find moral teachings that you can apply to your life that will have positive outcomes. I believe that the whole thing is of value, but you are going to find something of value in the scriptures and live by that. Do your best to follow those things because in the end, it's going to have a positive impact on your life.
I did not know that Zuby was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a testimony the other day of a, I don't know, there's like popularity online and you see somebody and you're like, well, that person has 3 million followers and I've never heard of them. And so this was one of those girls. And I think she maybe was like an OnlyFans kind of dabbler. Those people get huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like the followings that those girls will get from just doing
it's
OnlyFans
wild,
stuff.
It's poison too.
It is crazy, but they blow up and they get so rich. And she was talking about that. She was saying, I got very, very wealthy. She said she had a 4,200 square foot house when she was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, the way she was talking about it, you're like, well, I guess that's what you would do if you're a 19-year-old girl. She's like, I can go buy any bag I wanted. And I was like, well, that's boring. But, but you can buy whatever you. She was saying sure, she could go buy sure. anything she wanted. And then her testimony was that she had become a Christian within the last couple of years. And she's like, the thing that stuck out to me is she goes, back then, I almost didn't feel anything. I just felt nothing. And now I feel real emotions. Like, wow, what an interesting testimony.
With something as extreme as that, when you are constantly surrounded by it, right, I imagine it probably to a certain extent just kind of numbs you
mm-hmm.
to anything else.
Probably.
Right? Something that most people, Christian or not, would look at how many years ago, for especially for millennials,
yeah.
and would say, ooh, that's not normal. That's probably not considered to be, you know, morally of... Wait, high compass, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're surrounded by that, and it's all that your life is. Man, I mean, I can totally understand how it would numb you to everything.
We're getting closer to the end of the segment here, so I'm going to hit a couple of these rapid fire, but if anything catches your interest, go ahead and stop me. Number four is go on an adventure. He says there's no rites of passage in the modern world, so you need to create your own. Lots of cultures have had those rites of passage in becoming a man, and he said go on an adventure. Number five is really important. He said, don't make a serious life-changing mistake. Some of the ones that he says is don't get a woman pregnant who isn't your wife. Don't get a criminal record. Don't get addicted to drugs or alcohol, or don't get into massive debt. If you avoid those things, you're going to have a lot of success in life. He says to learn about Bitcoin, and he means Bitcoin specifically, not just any cryptocurrency.
I'm in Fartcoin.
Fartcoin, yeah.
I'm almost exclusively in Fartcoin.
Ryan likes those meme coins. Number seven, I like this one. Take yourself seriously. He said, take life seriously enough to become successful, but not so seriously that you become depressed. Number eight is work hard and smart. He said, some people work hard, some people work smart. Very rarely do people do both. And if you do that, you will excel no matter the field.
Doesn't it crack you up? Have you ever met somebody who works really hard to not work? I had friends like this
growing
up.
Have you, Ethan, met anybody that works really hard to not work?
I know you're side-eyeing me.
Thinking, like there is a name or two that ring a bell.
Yeah, like they like, let's make the poll about having somebody else host the 2 o'clock hour.
I kind of walked into that. Look, I'll admit that. But I'm thinking of friends who would go out of their way to skirt the system. And I'm like, dude, you're spending more time doing this other stuff than you are just getting a job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've met people like that.
So you named like what, nine reasons? I wonder.
I've got three more.
We'll come back to those in a minute. I wonder what like percentage of Gen Zers would look at those nine and would say like, oh, okay, like that makes sense. Like how much of them are just like, no, like that's obvious, duh. Because I look at those, I'm like, that is pretty clear. Like, those are nine general things that you should live by, and that millennials would say, duh, to all of those. And I don't know if everyone in my generation would.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't have a lot of experience with Gen Z. To what extent, because I know whenever I was younger, I wasn't looking to the future a lot. What was my future going to be like? To what extent does your generation think about the future and planning for the future?
I would argue that a lot of people in my generation right now are really in the middle of that,
mm-hmm.
in the thick of that, because now, I mean, you look at
that's where you're at.
How hard it is to, I mean, owning a home for people in my generation that are coming out of college that aren't, that are just your typical like 9 to 5, it looks almost unrealistic, right? So people I think in my day and age are panicking trying to figure out how are they going to build success, how are they going to do these things. So I would argue that a lot of people are currently in that.
I would say my experience with that is that, yeah, your generation is a lot more concerned about that than my generation was.
If you're in Gen Alpha, do you think, am I maybe going to marry a cartoon robot?
Is that what the current one is?
Well, that's just the future, you know. The future is going to look a lot different.
Yeah, they're not thinking about any of these things, just robots.
Okay.
Quick pause when we return. Well, there's no YouTube live chat poll results today because you are actively listening to the results right now. Ethan hosting the Manny Fry Show. You are listening to it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Manny Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Ethan Hannaford, Brad Range, Ryan Wiggins. If you heard that, you heard a little bit of Flo Rida. Flo Rida performing at Busch Stadium tonight for their summer concert series after the game.
Was that Flo Rida?
Well, that was the feature in the song. The song was Flo Rida, but that female singer was not Flo Rida.
I could not have even named a single song by Flo Rida. I remember the name.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have.
Really?
Yeah. Welcome to My House. I don't know if that's the name of the song.
It's My House.
My House. Whistle. Is that him?
Yep.
Is it good? Welcome to our house.
You definitely.
In the middle of our street.
No, not you that definitely one. Know Low. Come on.
Low?
Apple bottom jeans.
Boots. Oh, apple bottom jeans. No, I have no clue, man. No clue.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't know the song Low?
I don't listen to him. Oh, God. At all.
It's like a wedding staple. Like, reception.
It's kind of ironic
staple.
That it is, but yeah.
It totally is.
Well, I mean, maybe if I heard it.
You definitely would.
No, I don't know. He was
should've
playing.
Got low, low, low.
No, we got nothing. Media passes in March, me and my son, to go down to Busch Gardens. So we theme park nuts. So we went down there, and I'm like, oh, this is great. We got media passes. We can go to Busch Gardens and SeaWorld. And then we also did Disney, even though they don't do anything.
And they don't need
they
that.
Don't need Mew. They don't need anything. But we went to Busch Gardens on a day that I thought, oh, it won't be that busy. You know, it's March. It's just not.
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to be a big day. But it was a Saturday. And freaking we show up and Flo Rida's playing that night.
He's
and
so
dude,
mad.
That place was jam-packed. We
when was this?
This was in March.
Why do you think they gave you media passes?
Well, we could have chosen the day. We just happened to choose that day. Oh. And it happened to be when he was there, and I think we rode 3 rides the whole day.
I can't believe that Flo Rida is still packing places out.
Well, I mean, it was in Florida.
I mean, I guess there is a theme. There is a certain theme to that, isn't there?
There is a generation there's a group of people out there that they love. It's like that's the soundtrack of their high school life.
Oh yeah, no
that stuff
for sure. I guess so. I guess so. Busch Gardens, Busch Gardens. That was the last time you were at Busch Gardens?
Yeah.
You bounced around a lot of theme parks. That's, I know, a hobby you like to like to do that. And you recently were just at a couple, I think. What's your favorite one in the country?
I mean, amusement park. Disney's the Cadillac. It's the best of all of them. They just have the most money. They put the most attention to detail into everything. And you can ride those rides multiple times because they are not just, see, if you go to a theme park, a lot of rides are just the thrill of that ride. Disney and Universal to some extent, and more parks are starting to do this a little bit. They're starting to use the other senses other than just like G-force.
They're starting to emphasize the theme in theme park.
And so you go through, especially if it's an indoor ride, you're going through tunnels, you got screens, you got sound in the ride a lot of times, like
really?
In the roller coaster. Yeah. And so they're starting to put speakers in the seats to where when you hit certain spots in the, not even coasters all the time, but you just hit certain spots in the ride and it'll just trigger characters saying things and creating stories. And there's so much more to it than there used to be. And the parks that are going to survive are the ones that care about that stuff, because the multi-sensory aspect of rides is the future of the whole thing.
Yeah. From the moment you set foot on a Disney property, you're being entertained, whether you realize it or not. From the moment you set, we walked into the hotel room and we're being entertained.
They control what you smell.
Yeah.
It's so specific.
What the heck?
You need to go and just to see what it's like.
Yeah, it's been over 10 years.
You appreciate it differently as an adult too, because you can see all those little details and realize how much work goes into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would. I think I've said this to you before. I just don't like people. There's so many people everywhere.
That won't be the problem when you go there.
What will be the problem?
There won't be one.
You won't have any money.
Yeah, money. They'll take all of it.
Yeah. That would be a pretty big problem for me.
The joke is, you know why Mickey Mouse wears gloves, right?
No.
So you can't see his fingerprints on your wallet.
That's pretty dirty.
It takes a lot of money to go there.
The results of the YouTube live chat poll.
Well, I guess we are still sharing them, aren't we?
Are that you wanted Ethan to host the 2 o'clock hour, and you did it. And here's the thing. He got through the whole hour, and the results haven't gone down. They've stayed the same. Well,
they were like
a tiny, tiny fraction of a percentage. Maybe it went down.
It's fine. It's fine. I appreciate all of you. Except for the people, the 82% of you that wanted me to host the 2 o'clock hour. In reality, my biggest supporters are the ones that said, get him off of here. This has been the Manny Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.